All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let us begin. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors, by thanking our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat. To thank the Elbaum family for dedicating all of the learning, all of the Shirman Drushos this month in memory of Jerry Elbaum, Zichron Livracha, Yaakov Koppel, Ben Avram Menachem, loving father of Avron, Sean, Judah Elbaum, loving husband of Shirley Elbaum. May his memory be a blessing and remain eternal in our hearts. Truly beautiful. We also thank our additional Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Shvat, Mrs. Bracha Strimber, in loving memory of Avi Strimber, Avram Ben Kalman Eliezer Halevi, Zichron Livracha, on his ninth yartzeit. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamos will have an aliyah and the family zayin nechama. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors, Greg and Rachel Levitan, for Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Ben Etel and Yitzchak Meir Ben Reisel. We thank David and Roberta Schwartz for dedicating the Daf Yomi Shir this morning in memory of David's father, Ephraim Shimon Ben Avram. With many kind thanks to Zevi Daniel, David Flum, Ed Miller, and our unique Daf Yomi family and Klal Yisrael for all the warm love and support this past week. We thank David and Roberta for the beautiful dedication. Hope that the neshama has an aliyah and the family a nechama. And with that, let us begin. We have an incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Nun Dalet 54. We are picking up Emir Tzashem on Nun Gimel Amud Beis 53b at the Mishnah. So we have a lot to do in not a lot of time. So the Mishnah says as follows: Makom Shinagu LaHadlik Ner Belele Yom HaKippurim. So we'll say, remember again, continuing with the discussion regarding minhagim. So if in a place where they have a custom to light a candle in the home, or we'll see really it's referring to over here in the home, on the night of Yom Kippur, we go ahead and we light the candle. Makom shinagu shel ol hadlik in madligin. So we'll say, which is another way of saying essentially, where the minhag makom is to keep the home dark on Yom Kippur, we keep the home dark. Where the minhag makom is to go ahead and light a candle, we go ahead and we light a candle. Again, we'll discuss what exactly is behind this particular minhag. But in all places, we go ahead and we do light candles in shuls, in bate medrash, in dark alleys, and for the benefit of the sick. What exactly is driving this particular minug regarding whether or not you light candles in your home on Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara Tana, Bein Sha'amru Lahadlik, Bein Sha'amru Shalom Lahadlik, Shneim Ladavar Echad Niskafnu. Both the minhag to kindle and the minhag not to kindle are both driven by the same motivation. I'm supposed to take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Bein shomer lahadlik, osan shnagu lahadlik, vanogin shlo lahadlik, lo niskavnu el ladavar echad, laharfish atzmo mimishka ve'isha." So we'll say, remember again, one of the prohibitions on Yom Kippur is intimacy, marital relations. So the question, so both of these particular opinions, the one who say to light the candles, not to light the candles, are all driven by the same motivation. How could we ensure that couple, a husband and wife, won't engage in marital intimacy? So the Gemara says, so we've touched on this theme before. The opinion that says to light the candle in the case, because again, it is not considered to be modest to engage in bia in a room that is lit, in an illuminated room. So if a candle is lit, see, Sifra Bo said they're referring to over here, really in a bedroom. So if you go ahead and you keep the bedroom lit, if you keep the bedroom illuminated, so people won't engage in intimacy. The other opinion that says, don't light a candle indicates if there is light in the bedroom, a man will better see his wife, become aroused by her, and therefore could lead to intimacy. So this minhag is interesting. So the goal is the same. The goal is to ensure that a couple doesn't engage in marital intimacy on the night of Yom Kippur. The shayla is, which better allows for the fulfillment or enabling of that particular halacha? Is it to keep the room illuminated or to keep the room dark? That's the machlokes. Amar Rav Yehoshua, Darash Rava, V'amech Kulam Tzadikim, Li'olam Yershu Aretz. Rav Yehoshua Darash in the name of Rava, quoting the pasuk, your nation are all tzaddikim; they will forever inherit the land. Bein shomer lahadlik, bein shomer shel lahadlik, shneim lo niskavnu el ladavar echad. So we'll say so again. The Gemara just quotes this theme: Amech kulam tzaddikim; everyone's righteous. In other words, the machlokis over here in the halacha ultimately is all for the same idea. Everyone's motivated by the same desire to maintain fidelity to the halacha. They just disagree as to the best way to go about it. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ein mevarchin al ha'ar, ela b'matzei Shabbos, ho l'tchilas b'riyasu. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, we only make a bracha on a fire, b'orei ma'orei ha'eish, on matzei Shabbos, as opposed to any other matzei yom tov or any other time. Why? Why only matzei Shabbos? Ultimately, because fire was created on Matzei Shabbos. Again, we're going to discuss this in more homiletic detail as well. But because fire was created on Matzei Shabbos, therefore halacha l'maisa make the bracha of borei ma'orei ha'esh, which literally means Hashem creates the embers of the fire, the light of the fire, only on Matzei Shabbos. Amaliyahu Saba, v'itimu Rabba Bar Bar Chana. There was a particular old man, some say it was Rabbi Rachana, Yashar. So ultimately, again, after Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, so Rabbi Rachana gave him a shkoyach. So the Gemara said, Vechina on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also said, this is indeed a correct ruling. Ula, so I'll say, so again, this is beginning a conversation regarding number one, when do we make the bracha borei ma'orei ha'ish? So you have an opinion here that it's only Matzei Shabbos because fire was created on Matzei Shabbos. That's number one. And again, well, yeah, let's continue with this. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, okay. Ula havarachav chamra. Ula was riding on a donkey. So it's an interesting story. Va'azil, and he was traveling. Va'havashakil, va'azil, Rabbi Abba miyamine, v'Rabba Bar Bar Chana mismale. And Rabbi Abba was on Ula's right, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was on Ula's left. So Ula Talmud Chacham doesn't travel alone. So he's traveling again on his right, Rabbi Abba, his left, Rabbi Bar Chana. Amali Rabbi Abba, li Ula. So Rabbi Abba said to Ula, Vaday da'amrisa mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Is it true that you said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein mevarchin al ha'ar, ela b'matzei Shabbos, Hoil utchilas briyasahu. So that you said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you only make a borei ma'orei ha'ish on Matzei Shabbos because fire itself was created on Matzei Shabbos. Hadar Ula chaza be'Rabba Bar Chana bishus. So Ula looked at Rabba Bar Chana and he was upset. Now what's going on over here? If we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, it's about five, six lines up from the bottom. Hadar ula chazibay b'rabba b'rachana bishus nistakil bo b'panim zoafos. Ula was upset. Kilomar ata amarte b'shim Rabbi Yochanan v'hula amarkein ela af b'matz yom kippur mevarchin alav hoil v'davar chadashu shenasar kalyon v'akshav nenei manu. So Ula was upset to Rabbi b'rachana because Ula thought Rabbi b'rachana said over his Ula's ruling of in the name of Rabbi Yochanan in the wrong way. That apparently Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as saying you only make a borei ma'orei ha'ish on Matzei Shabbos, but that's not true. You also make borei ma'orei ha'ish on Matzei Yom Kippur. Now, granted, it's for two different reasons. The Gemara is attributing over here the borei ma'orei ha'ish over here by Matzei Shabbos because fire was created on Matzei Shabbos. But on Yom Kippur, ultimately, again, borei ma'orei ha'ish is recited to show, ultimately, again, that fire was prohibited the entire day of Yom Kippur. That even though normally malacha, specifically of ochel nefesh, is permitted on Yom Tiv, Yom Kippur is the exception to this rule. So we make a bracha borei ma'orei, utilizing fire on Matzei Yom Kippur to show that although it was prohibited the entire day, it's permitted now. Amrle, ana lava ha'amri. He said, I wasn't reciting, I literally translated, I wasn't talking about this, I was talking about that. The Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, because there was someone who talked before Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Alas or Omer, Yom Kippur Mshachalios B'Shabbos, after Makom Shomru Shalola Hadlik, Madlikin Mipnei Kavara Shabbos. So I've also listened to this. He said, I was quoting this particular ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that even in a place where they have the minhag not to light candles on Yom Kippur, as we just saw in the Mishnah, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, we do light candles out of covered Shabbos. Va'ani Rabbi Yochanan Basrei v'chachamim osrim. And Rabbi Yochanan answered afterwards, and he said, v'chacham, however, asr this. Amalei Ada te kari Allah. Ada said it should, pasuk should be said about you. Kari Allah, Rabbi Yosef, sorry. Mayim amukim eitza b'lev ish. Literally, again, deep waters are the counsel in the heart of man. Tap of nundalad v'ish tavuna yidlena, and a man of understanding will draw them out. Mayim amukim eitza b'lev ish. What does it mean? Deep waters of counsel in the heart of man. Ze'ula. This refers to Ula, who possessed incredible wisdom. The ish tavuna yidlena, but it takes sometimes a man of understanding to draw out the waters. Ze rabba bar bar chana. This is the first rabba bar chana. Ultimately, again, through his conversation, he was able to draw out the true shita of Ula. So Rabbi says, I just want to point out something very interesting. So first of all, there's a very profound pasuk that here the pasuk, this is in Mishlei, is really highlighting an incredible yisod. That sometimes there are people who possess great wisdom, but they might not even be aware of the wisdom they possess. And sometimes it's about finding a way to draw out of that wisdom. Certainly, again, in the realm of chinuch, in the realm of dealing with our children. So children often have many incredible gifts and many incredible talents that they may not even be aware of. And so it takes an effective parent, and it takes an effective mechanech to be able to kind of draw that out. That's the mai mamukim eitzah b'levish. Sometimes it's very deep waters in many people, but sometimes it just takes the ish tavuna. It takes the person of understanding to help draw them out. But I will say, but the point over here is you see as follows, we begin to see a little bit of a dramatic evolution of the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. V'ilu kiman savruah, who does he hold like? Ki hada am Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes, am Rabbi Yochanan. Mevarachin al ha'ar bein b'matzei Shabbos, bein b'matzei Yom Kippurim. So he holds like this particular opinion, that is, we make a bracha borei ma'orei ha'ish, both on Yom Kippur, as well as, I should say, both on Matzah Shabbos, as well as Yom Kippur. And I both say, to be very clear, this is for two different reasons. According to the Gemara right now, based on what the Gemara said, is we make a bracha of Borei Ma'orei Ha'ish on Matzah Shabbos, because fire was created on Shabbos. Again, we'll dispute that, and we'll argue that, but that's what the Gemara is holding right now. On Matzah Yom Kippur, we go ahead and we make a Borei Ma'orei Ha'ish. Why? Because at the end of the day, remember, Yom Kippur is Yom Tiv. It's Yom Tiv. It's called Shabbason, but remember, again, it really fits into the Yom Tiv category. So because of that, I would have thought that Malacha, at least in some form, is permitted. But it's not. Instead, Yom Kippur is in fact treated like Shabbos. We show that distinction by kindling a fire on Matzah Yom Kippur, ultimately again to show this fire was usher the entire day, even though this is not Shabbos. But now it's permitted. So I just want to point out right now the Gemara is saying, yes, we make a Borei Ma'arish both Matzah Shabbos and Yom Kippur, but two different reasons. Meisvei, so we'll say that we're going to further develop this, says the Gemara, this is actually fascinating. So the Brisa says, according to this Brisa, we only make the bracha borei ma'orei ha'ish on Matzei Shabbos. Not, why? Because fire was created on Matzei Shabbos. But the Brisa says, not only that, the first fire you see on Matzei Shabbos, you make a bracha on that fire. Bosses, understand what this means. You're walking home from shul, according to the Gemara. You're walking home from shul, and you see someone has a bonfire lit in their front yard. You don't wait to get home to make borei ma'orei ha'ish. You make a borei ma'orei ha'ish on the first fire you see. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Huda says, sojourn ala kosh. Rabbi Huda says, no. We organize the brachas of Havdalah on the cup of wine. So again, you make everything as part of what we'll call formal Havdalah. Borei ma'orei ha'esh, borei minei besamim, so on and so forth. So I will say, so again, obviously, again, we see a contradiction here. So we'll say, so again, this Gemara, this Braisa indicates that fire is only used on Matzei Shabbos, not on Matzei Yom Kippur. So what's going on? Lokasha, kan ba'ar sheshavas, kan ba'ar hayotzi mina itzim u'mina avana. We'll say, a dramatic halacha. On Matzei Shabbos and Matzei Yom Kippur, there are two different fires that are used. Look at Rashi, second line from the top. Then Ar Sheshavas, Shehaya B'Shabbos Shedalak Hayom, Mikomoko Melechas Aveira Shavas, Shedalak Behetir Kegon Shalchaya V'Shalchola, Oner Adal Me'ar Yom Kippur. Fine, let's listen to this. The Gemara says there's a fundamental distinction. It is true, we make a bracha Borei Ma'orei Ha'ish, both on Matzei Shabbos and Matzei Yom Kippur. But I will say they are two different fires. On Matzei Yom Kippur, you have to use what's called a ner sheshavas, which means you make Havdalah, or you make Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh on a fire that was lit throughout the entirety of Yom Kippur. I will say that's why on Yom Kippur, we light a yahrzeit candle. We light the yahrzeit candle in our homes, even for those Baruch Hashem who do not go ahead and have to observe a yahrzeit. We light a yahrzeit candle. Why? Because on Matzah Yom Kippur, you have to light your Havdalah candle from a fire that has been burning the entire Yom Kippur. That is called a ner sheshavas, a fire that rested. And the reason we do that on Matzah Yom Kippur is because to show, here, this fire was in my home the entire day, and I didn't use it. And I didn't use it because halacha lemaisa, fire was prohibited on Yom Kippur. Versus on Matzah Shabbos, how do you create your fire? You strike a match. You could create fire from the, you don't need a fire that was in existence. Because again, I both said two different reasons for the fire. Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, I'm using fire because fire was created. I could create the fire right then and there, and gemara, we're good. On Matzah Yom Kippur, the fire is there to highlight the very important halachic point. That fire was prohibited over the course of Yom Kippur. So I have to use what's called a Ner Sheshavas. We'll say just interestingly enough, and by the way, this is all halacha lemaisa, a Ner Sheshavas. The Mishnah Berurah points out, what happens if you didn't light, the yahrzeit candle in your home? I didn't do it. So now what do I do on Matzah Yom Kippur? So Mishnah Berurah says what you do is, you light the fire, and then let's say you light the candle, and then you kindle your Havdalah candle from that fire. So meaning, you don't go ahead and kindle the Havdalah candle with the match itself, but rather you kindle it from an already pre-existing flame. Again, that's not the ideal. The ideal is Ner Sheshavas. Tani Chada, Ar Hayotzi Mina Eitzi Mina Avanu Mavarchan Alav. So we'll say we have one brisa that says that if you create fire, which means literally fire you just created, you can make a bracha bori mare eshra. Tani Chada, in Mavarchan Alav. But yet another mission said, you can't go ahead and make a bracha on it. So we'll say, so which one is it? Lo kasha, again, kamba matzi Shabbos, kamba matzi Yom Kippur. And we'll say, again, this is halacha lemaisa. Matzi Shabbos, you make Havdalah on fire, you create right then and there. Matzi Yom Kippur, you must use Ner Sheshavas, a fire that was in existence throughout the entire day. Again, why? As we just mentioned a number of times, because fire is used in two different symbolic capacities on Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Yom Kippur. Rebbe Mefazron, so I will say literally translated, Rebbe would scatter them. But I'll say what that means is that on Matzah Shabbos, when Rebbe would make Havdalah, he wouldn't organize everything together. So when he was walking home from shul, if he saw a fire, he'd make borei ma'orei ha'ish. As soon as he got besamim, he would go out and make borei minei besamim. And then at some point in time, he'd make someone. Then afterwards, he would make Havdalah, he'd make the bracha of Hamavdil ala kos on a cup of wine. Conversely, Rebbe Chia Mechanson, Rebbe Chia would gather them. He would make all of the brachas of Havdalah. Borei ma'orei ha'ish, borei minei besamim, hamavdil, hagofen, all together. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Baravdini, afa pish Rabbi Mefazron, chozer v'sojron alakos, kedei lehotzi banav v'bnei beiso. So we'll say, this is actually quite fascinating. Rabbi Yitzchak Baravdini said, even though Rebbe would scatter the brachas, in other words, he would recite them as they would come up, as soon as he saw fire, borei ma'orei ha'ish, besam, borei minei besamim, when he got home, he would repeat them all together, in order to discharge the obligation of his family members, which actually is a fascinating halachic discussion, which unfortunately we don't have time to go into today, but Emeret Hashem we will come back to. So the Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say, so now we're going to do some beautiful and incredible and overwhelmingly amazing agarta. So we'll say, so now remember, we just spoke about this idea that fire was created on Matzah Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to jump on this. Is that true? That fire was created on Matzah Shabbos? Vatanya, we learned Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos. The Gemara says that what? There are 10 things. There are 10 things that were created on the Erev Shabbos, Ben Ashmashos. Now, I'll say what this means is 10 things that were mamish created in the twilight moments of Erev Shabbos. So, 10 things that were created literally as Friday was ending, Erev Shabbos was ending, and Shabbos was beginning. And what are they? I'll say, listen to this list. Eluhain, Be'er. The Be'er. Now, the assumption over here is that the reference is to the Be'er, the well of Miriam. Again, I will say this, Rashi says over here, Be'er Hashem Miriam, Selo sheyatsu mimenu hamayim al yedei Moshe, va'agul k'min kavr hayu miskalgel iman k'mok shalach. I will say this is incredible. All of us are aware that in the desert, Klal Yisrael had a well. They had a well in the merit of Miriam. So I will say, Rashi says over here, just understand what that well looked like. The well was a round stone. And it essentially followed Klal Yisrael wherever they went. I saw it rolled with them, right? It rolled along with them. This was the Be'er of Miriam. And water would come from the stone. I've also said the notion of water coming from stones in the desert is quite fascinating. It also gives a little bit of insight into Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake that he made. Again, not for now. But okay, so the Be'er of Miriam was created. V'haman, the man that the Jews ate in the desert. Keshas, ultimately the rainbow. Ksav, the name, Rashi's over here, Ksav is Kriyas Shema Osios. The names of the letters, Michtav, Bose means a stylus, right? Something you use to engrave letters. Now Rashi understands over here that this Michtav, ultimately, again, was the stylus of the Ribono Shel Olam that he used for the Luchos. Now, whatever that means. So the Gemara says, Vahaluchos, the Luchos themselves, the Kivro Shal Moshe, the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, Uma'ara Sh'amad Ba Moshe Eliyahu, and the cave in which Moshe and Eliyahu stood when they saw some part, some piece of the Ribono Shal Olam. Psichas Pia Asan, the opening of the mouth of the donkey by Bilam. Psichas Pia Aris Levnoas HaRasham, the opening of the earth to swallow up the Rasham, reference to the Korach story. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Nechemya said in the name of his father, Af Ha'ar, fire was also created. Vahapered, and the mule was also created. Rabbi Yosha Mishum Aviv, Af Ha'ayil, even the ram of Avram Avinu that he sacrificed instead of Yitzchak, the Hashamir. The Shamir, I will say, was that very unique worm-like creature that Shlomo HaMelech used to cut the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afa Tseves. Rabbi Yehuda said, even Tseves, we'll say, Tseves are tongues. The first pair of tongues was created Ben Hashmashos Erev Shabbos. Who are your Omer? Tziv Sabbat, Tziv Sabbat, Sabbat. Because it will say generally, the way you make a pair of tongues is how? With a pair of tongues. Because remember, again, it's hot metal. So you have to handle it with something. So you make a pair of tongues with a pair of tongues. So the Gemara says, so who made the first pair of tongues? So the Gemara says, Ha loy baria bide shamayni. It must have been created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amrullah said, not necessarily. Efshar yasena bidfus v'ikav ena. Ultimately, again, they could have made it in a mold. In other words, you could create a mold, pour hot metal into a mold, and make the tongues like that. Kevan hai li loy bare bide adam hi. Ultimately, again, therefore, the first pair of tongues is not created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was created by man. Okay, we'll say, what are we focusing on over here? We're focusing on fire. You just told me fire was created in Matzah Shabbos. Here, the Brisa pretty clearly indicates that when was fire created? Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos. So we'll say, I just want to point out, we don't have time to go through it now, but first of all, please, like fold down this page of Gemara, because there is treasure. There's treasure here. We'll say, I just want to point out something fascinating. Anything created, Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos means, these are the last items that HaKadosh Baruch Hu squeezed in to the creation process right before the close of creation. Now it is very important to understand what has occurred before HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates these last minute things, the Chet of Adam and Chava. So all of these things created, Ben Hashmashos of Erev Shabbos, were all things created in the aftermath of the sin of Adam and Chava, which is incredibly important, because what it tells you is that halacha lemaisa, there is something, there is some connection between each of these items and the chait. They were not part of creation before the chait of Adam and Chava. They only come into this world Bein Hashmashos. Now, maybe they might have been part of creation regardless at a later time, that is possible, but lemaisa, they're squeezed in right before the window of creation closes. They're squeezed in right before Shabbos. So there is a direct correlation between each of these items and something to do with Adam and Chava. To which the Gemara says, Lokashia. So again, I'll both say, which one is it? Was fire created Matzah Shabbos? Was fire created Erev Shabbos? The Gemara says, Lokashia, Haba or Didan, Haba or Digehenim. Wow. The Gemara says, two different fires. Two different fires. One is our fire that we use in this world. One is the fire of Gehenim. Or Didan, b'Matzah Shabbos, our fire was created on Matzah Shabbos, or the Gehenim be'Erev Shabbos. The fire of Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos, which I both say now makes sense, because remember, if you understand that all of these items created have a correlation to the chait of Adam and Chava, so apparently, again, whatever the plan was, maybe there wasn't going to be a Gehenim, I don't know, but after the chait of Adam and Chava, Gehenna is created right before Shabbos. The Gemara says, really? Var the Gehenna be'erev Shabbos? Is that true that the fire of Gehenna was created on Erev Shabbos? Vatanya, we learned, Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shnivra Olam. There are seven things which were created before the world was. Well, see, you know, this is so not a Daf Yomi Gemara. You know, this is like, let's spend a month on a Gemara like this. It's just incredible. Shiva Dvar Nivru Kodem Shnivra Olam. There are seven things which were created before the world was created. Eluhin, these are the seven things. We're both saying seven things which preceded the actual creation of the world in its entirety. The Eluhin, these are the seven things. Torah, Tshuva, repentance. Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kisei HaKavod, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beis HaMikdash, Ushmo Shel Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. So both say, obviously, each of these, so all these items created before, even before there's a world, all of these items are created. Now, both say, remember again, we're hyper-focused right now on Gehenim. We're all about Gehenim. So remember again, here you see Gehenim being created before the world was created. But you just told me that the fire of Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos. So what's going on? So we'll say the Gemara just goes through each of these things. Torah, how did the Torah was created before the world? Dechsev, Hashem kanani reishes darko. Tshuva, dechsev beterem harim yuladu, uksev tashev enesh adaka, vatomer shuvu b'nei adam. So we'll say again, all of these psukim just highlighting the fact that these items were created even before the world. Gan eden dechsev, vaita Hashem alokim, gan be'eden mikedem. The Gemara is darshing that mikedem could also be vocalized as mikodem, earlier on. Gehenem dechsev, ki aruch me'es maltifasa, Kisei HaKavod Beis HaMikdash Dechsev Kisei HaKavod Marom Merosh Makom Mikdashenu Shmo Shel Mashiach Dechsev Yehi Shmo Liolam Lifnei Shemash Yonin Shmo. So we'll say, so again, I'm probably just going through the Pesukim quickly, but again, we'll get to the punchline. So we'll say, so which one is it? When was Gehenna created? Was Gehenna created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas? Or was Gehenna created before the world was created? So which Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. Amri, Chalaluhu Dinivra Kodem Shinivra Olam Va'ar Didei Be'erev Shabbos. Well, see, this is actually very interesting. Gemara says, the cavity for Gehenna was created ultimately again before the world was created. So the cavity itself, the area of Gehenna was created before the world. Ultimately, again, the fire of Gehenna was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. So we'll say, really quite a fascinating distinction. So the Gemara goes, Vayitiv, Ar Didei Be'erev Shabbos, but again, is that true? That the fire of Gehenna was created on Erev Shabbos? Vatanya, we learned, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Or Shevar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'sheni B'Shabbos, Ein Lo Kaviyah Li'olam. The light, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on the second day is never extinguished. Shenemar, Vayetzu, Uru'u, Bepigri HaAnashim HaPoshim, Bi, Ki To'alasam Lo Samos, Va'asham Lo Sichbe. Why doesn't the Torah record Kitov? The word Kitov, and it was good. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative process on the second day of creation, the Gemara says, Mipnei Shenivra Bo Or Shel Gehenna. I will say this is incredible. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates light, the luminaries, right? The light on day number two, ultimately again, there was the fire of Gehenna was created on day number two as well. That's why the Gemara says that the Torah does not say Ki Tov on the second day of creation. Even though it doesn't say Ki Tov on the second day, ultimately, again, all of creation is included in Ki Tov on the sixth day. Hashem saw all that He did, and it was very good. I will say, by the way, just to kind of align with this, the Medrash says, what does it mean, Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa? God saw everything that He made, and it was good. Everything that He made, the Medrash says, Ze Yom HaMisa. This refers to death. Hashem saw that death was good. And again, obviously the Mefarshim discussed this. What do you mean death is good? I will say, death is good, and Gehenna is good. Why? I know it sounds strange, why? Because I will say, death is good because I know one day I have to give an accounting for my life. And the knowledge that I have to give an accounting for my life hopefully keeps me on the right path. Gehenna is good because the knowledge that there is a Gehenim forces me to make the difficult choices in life because I know I want to wind up in Gan Eden, not in Gehenim. So these things like death and like Gehenim, as overwhelming and as scary as they may be, these are the very things that help us to remain on the straight and narrow path in life. It's incredible, Yisod. So the Gemara says, Elo, so we'll say, so now we have the fire of Gehenna being made on the second day. So what's going on over here? Elo, chalala kodim shenivra olam, v'ardi day b'sheni b'shabbis. So we'll listen to this. Rather, here's what happened. The cavity of Gehenna was created before the world, like we saw before. The fire of Gehenna was created on the second day of creation. And our fire, Kadosh Baruch Hu had in mind, had kavanah, he had decided to create it already on Erev Shabbos, but didn't actually create it until Matzei Shabbos. So we'll say, so this is now the entire fire reconciliation, right? So the cavity of Gehenna before the world was created, the fire of Gehenna on second day of creation, when we saw before the Brisa said the fire was created on Erev Shabbos, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create fire, but actual fire itself is created on Matzei Shabbos. I will say, by the way, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to create something and then creates something? We'll say, the Ribbono Shel Olam modeling for us the right kind of behavior in life. If you want to create great things in this world, it requires forethought. It requires planning. It requires machshava. You see, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the only being in this world who has the ability to create instantaneous results. But yet, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol creates a vision. And then from that, creates something dramatic. An incredible Gemara. The Sanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shnei Dvarim Elu Alum Machshav Libaros Barav Shabbos. V'lo Nivar Matzei Shabbos. There are two things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided he was going to create, but he didn't actually create them until he decided he was going to create them on Erev Shabbos, but he didn't actually create them until Matzei Shabbos. On Matzei Shabbos, Nasin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Deya Ba'adam Arisham Ein Dugma Shal Mala. And on Matzei Shabbos, what happened? On Matzei Shabbos, Hashem gave Adam wisdom, divine wisdom, and Adam created results. What did he do? Vehevi shnei avanim, v'tachnan zubazu. Adam brought together two stones. He rubbed the two stones together. And what happened? V'yatsa mehen ar. And he went ahead and he created fire. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, the Gemara says, where did Adam know to do this from? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him the wisdom. Adam took two stones, created a spark, and thereby created the first fire on Matzei Shabbos. Vehevi shnei behemos, v'herkiv zubazu. He also mated two animals together, and ultimately, again, from amongst them, created a mule. So we'll say those are the two creative things that Adam did on Matzei Shabbos. Rav Shimon Yalomer, Pered bimei anahaya. That's not true. Ultimately, again, the mule was not created by Adam. The mule was created ultimately in the days of Ana. Shneimar hu Ana asher matza esayimim b'midbar. Darshe chamuros amru Ana pasul haya leficha chevi psul olam. Ana himself, we're going to see, was a mamzer, not like in a colloquial way, but like in a literal way. Right? So we'll say, so Ana was a mamzer, so because he was a mamzer, right, because he was blemished, he brought in a blemished species. Right? So we'll say a mule is considered to be a blemished species. He brought in a blemished species into the world. Shenemar, Eile b'nei seir achori yuksif, Eile b'nei tzivon v'aya v'ana, Ela melamed shabat tzivon al imo v'holi mena Ana. Ana was the result of an incestuous union between his mother and his brother. I v'dilma trei Ana hava. Maybe there are two different guys named Ana. Amarava Amina Milsa the Shavram Alkalo Amra. Rava said, I'll tell you something that even King Shapur never said. Who's King Shapur? Which was like a title of prominence. Manu Shmuel. Others say he was referring to Rava. Okay. I'll say something that neither Shmuel nor Rava ever said. Amar Kra, who Ana? Who Ana Dimei Kara. The Pasuk says, this is Ana, the same Ana from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Adam didn't create the mule. Ana created the mule. What drove Ana to create the mule? Ana himself was the product of an incestuous union, of an inappropriate union. So he created a species that was the mating of two different types of animals as well. Tanur Abanan. So where the Gemara is holding right now, just so we have everything clear. The Gemara is holding right now, cavity of Gehenna was created before the world. Fire of Gehenna, day number two. Kadosh Baruch Hu had the machshava, the thought, they decided to create fire Erev Shabbos, but didn't actually give Adam the wisdom to create fire until Matzeh Shabbos. Matzeh Shabbos comes. You think there's nothing to do in Baltimore on Matzeh Shabbos? There was nothing to do in Gan Eden Matzeh Shabbos either. So what happens? Adam goes in and takes two stones and he creates fire Matzeh Shabbos. So I'll say that is where the Gemara is holding right now. Tan Rabbanon. Asara Dvar Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Be'en Hashmashas. But we'll say now we go back a little bit. There are 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos in the final moments of Friday, final moments of Erev Shabbos. Of Eilu, and these are them. So we'll say most of this list is the same. Be'er, the well of Miriam. Mon, Keshes, the rainbow. Ksav, the names of the letters. Michtov, the stylus. The Luchos, the tablets for the Asar Sadibros. Kivro Shel Moshe, the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma'ara Sha'amad Ba Moshe Ve'elio. The cave that Moshe and Eliyahu both stood in when they saw the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Psichas Pia Asen, Bilam's donkey, or the opening of Bilam's donkey's mouth, Psichas Pia Aretz, the ability for the earth to open up and swallow up. People of Lo Asar Hashem, Yish Omrim, you will say, here's where the list grows, Af Maklo Shel Aaron, incredible, even the staff of Aaron, Shkedeo Pracheho, with its almonds and blossoms. Rabbi say, remember again, this is a reference also this is a reference to the Korach story. The Korach story, right, where again, there's a rebellion against the authority of Moshe and Aaron, and the way in which Aaron's leadership is solidified is that his staff was the only one that blossomed. That staff, together with its almonds, together with its blossoms, was created already Bein HaShemashos. But I'll say, all of these things also symbolizing there are certain things that were part of the fabric of the world from the beginning. V'yeshomrim af hamazikim, some say also shedim, were created. V'yeshomrim af bigdo, amadeis, af bigdo shal Adam Arishon. Some say it was also the clothing of Adam Arishon. I both say, Rashi records an interesting machlokes over here. Rashi says, what's bigdo shal Adam Arishon? So Rashi says, quotes two opinions. He says that the clothing of Adam Arishon had an image of every single animal engraved on it, and that garment gave a person dominion over the animal kingdom. But then Rashi says, no, it's simpler. It refers to the clothing in which Adam and Chava clothed themselves after eating from the Eitz Das Tovara and realizing that they were naked. So again, just two different opinions in Rashi. Tan Rabbanon, Shiva Dvar Mechusim Mibnei Adam. I will say this is such, I wish I had like another 40 minutes. I'll say this is such an overwhelmingly profound Gemara. There are seven things which are Mechusim. Mechusim literally means covered or obscured. There are seven things that are sometimes out of the realm of comprehension of a person. Eluhin, and these are the seven things. Yom HaMisa, on a basic level, I don't know when I'm going to die. Right? The person doesn't know when they're going to die. The Yom HaNechama, we'll see, listen to how profound this is. A person also doesn't know when they are going to achieve consolation. Now Rashi says over here, Yom HaNechama, Shekol Adam Masa Yisnachi Mida'agaso. We'll say an incredible yisod that a person does not know when the day of consolation will come. It could be consolation for loss, but it's also consolation for your worries, right? We all walk through worries, life through worries. Most say, doesn't a person, don't we sometimes say to ourselves, like, when will I reach that point where my worries will be taken care of, right? When will I ever reach that point where I'll have some level of inner tranquility? Allow me to go on with this for just a moment, right? When will I ever reach a level where just there's a feeling of nachas ruach in life? Of nechama. So a person doesn't know. Person doesn't know when they'll achieve that. The Omek Adin, person doesn't know the depth of judgment. So we'll say, so again, Rashi points out over here that either refers to the fact that most judges don't appreciate the full profundity of the authority they are vested with. Others say that what Rashi means over here is the Omek Adin, the depth of judgment after 120. When we go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't always appreciate the full depth of judgment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein adam yodeh ma b'libo shel chavero. I don't know what's in my friend's heart. Right? We'll say, this is incredible. We never really know what someone else is thinking. Ve'ein adam yodeh b'ma mistaker. Or a person never knows, ultimately, again, how he's going to earn his parnasa. Right? What's going to work, what's not going to work in life. U'malchus beis David masai tachzar. When is Mashiach going to come? U'malchus chayeves masai tichla. And when will the terrible, evil monarchy, Rome, when will Rome finally come to an end? I will say, such an incredibly profound Gemara, that there are certain things in this world that you just don't know when you're going to have a level of inner tranquility, when you're going to die, but what happens to me after I leave this world? What are my friends and my family and my loved ones really thinking? What deals will work out? Where is my parnasa really going to come from? When is Mashiach going to come? And when are the Rishayim really going to get what is coming to them? Incredible. Tanu Rabbanan, Gimel Dvarim, Alu B'machshava Libaros, V'imlo Alu Dinu Shiyalu Alam, Dinu Shiyalu. There are three things, Rabbo say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Alu B'machshava Libaros means he decided to create. And even had he not created it, logic would have required that he would have created it. We'll say, what is this? This is wild. So the Gemara says, number one, alames shiasviach, that a dead body decomposes. And Rashi points out to the weird, because if a dead body wouldn't decompose, what would people do? They would keep their loved ones with them. Right? So you would keep your loved ones with you, but I don't know what you do. I don't know exactly how that works. But Lamaisa, maybe in the attic or somewhere else. Hey, so you go ahead. Why do you have to say goodbye to my loved ones? It's true they're not alive, but if I could see them, I could embrace them. So Shbaruch, but again, the only way for a person to, this is incredibly profound, Yisod. Because what it's saying is the only way for a person to move on after, person has to find an ability to move on after loss. We are not allowed to become rooted in our losses. We mourn our losses, and some losses you mourn for the rest of your life, but there has to be a way, ultimately, again, to plot a path forward. So the dead decompose. And over time, the dead are forgotten. Now, what does this mean? Anyone who's ever experienced loss knows you never forget. You never forget someone who you love who has died. What it means is, Rabbi say that after when a person encounters loss, so loss often occupies an incredible amount of emotional and intellectual real estate in the consciousness. Over time, what ends up happening is a person is able to take that loss and push it a little bit back. Push a little bit back, not necessarily all the way into the recesses of the subconscious, but it doesn't have to be the primary thing that's on my mind all of the time. That's what it means that the mace, Kadosh Baruch Hu programmed us with that ability to push loss back. It takes time, definitely takes time, but I'm able to quote unquote forget, but not literally forget, but rather push into the recesses of the subconscious. Vala tvosh terak, listen to this, Kadosh Baruch Hu also created that wheat rots. They're both saying, now what's the my love wheat rotting? Since it rots, you have to sell it. Since you have to sell it, you have to keep prices in a legitimate place. If you could hoard produce, you could drive up demand. You could drive up demand and you could drive price. You could drive prices through the roof. The fact that you could only hold on to wheat for so long creates ultimately, again, a normal market price for the purchase of wheat. Now, let's listen to this last one. This is great. So the Ben Yehoyada says, one of the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu did is he caused people to accept paper currency. Now listen to what this means. Right? Think about this for just a moment. You go to a store, right? And what do? You're buying something. So you take out a $50 bill, right? And mom, she buys something, but it's a piece of paper. Okay, I know there's a cheshbon, it's backed by this. It's a piece of paper. Don't you think that the best way to do commerce, ultimately, again, is carry around your gold bars, right? Carry on your gold bars and go ahead and pay with this and pay with that. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we accept paper currency, which is such, because also think about it, if you didn't do it, it would disrupt the entire flow of commerce. Incredible. Let's do a little bit more. We're right on target. Says the Mishnah. Makom shenagu lasas malacha b'tisha b'av. We'll say, so again, if there's a place, back to Minag HaMakom. We're not finished with the Agadah. There's still incredible Agadah to come. Makom shenagu lasas malacha b'tisha b'av. If you live in a place where the custom is to do malacha on tisha b'av, osin, you do malacha. Makom shenagu shelo lasas malacha ain osin. But if you live in a place where they don't do malacha on tisha b'av, you shouldn't do malacha. Tamidi chachamim do not do work on Tisha B'Av. They don't do work on Tisha B'Av. The Olam Yasa Adam Atzma Tamid Chacham. Rabbi Shimon Leal says a person should conduct himself like a Tamid Chacham. Rabbi Shimon Leal seems to be of the opinion that really, a person should not do malacha on Tisha B'Av, and ultimately, again, should be like a Talmud Chacham. They're both saying, now the novelty in saying that is, generally, we would say that if a person is not a Talmud Chacham, but he conducts himself like a Talmud Chacham, Mechsik Yehura, that looks arrogant, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, in this context, it doesn't look arrogant, because at the end of the day, we'll see a person is doing it in order to maintain the proper solemnity of the day. So it says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Ein Tainis Sibar B'Bavel, Ela Tisha B'Av Bilbad. So Shmuel said, there is no such thing as a public fast day in Bavel. And I also remember again, the public fast days that they are referring to were public fast days instituted for lack of rain. Bavel never had a rain problem. A rain problem really was only in Eretz Yisrael. So as such, again, a tiny sibur, a public fast day for lack of rains, they didn't have in Bavel. They only had in Eretz Yisrael. So ain't tiny sibur Bavel. Ela Tisha B'Av Bilvad, the only public fast day, communal fast day, that they had in Bavel, ultimately, again, was on Tisha B'Av. L'meimra, d'sover Shmuel, tesva ben ha-shmo, shoshlo aser. So Rabbi said, this must mean that what? That Shmuel holds that Tisha B'Av ben ha-shmo, shoshlo. Rabbi said, one word and then we'll have to stop for today. In a tiny seabor, fast day that they declared because of rain, that fast day, we'll see, although it depends which fast day it was, would begin the night before. And not only would it begin the night before, but it would already occur ben ha-shoshah. So for example, I will say, if you were declaring a tiny seabor for rain on Thursday, the fast would begin when? Already again, Wednesday night, but even before nightfall, even before Tzeis HaKochavim, it would begin ben ha-shmashas, during the twilight period of Wednesday, because remember, Ben HaShosh is Safek Yom, Safek Laila, that's when it will begin. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. We're going to start in Miratz Hashem tomorrow morning. A lot of beautiful God. Tomorrow morning, Daf will be again at 5:45. We'll pick up with Tzidkas HaTzadik and Miratz Hashem on Monday. Shkoyach.